Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air with the mission to equip you in life and truth because life and truth matter. In our post-truth culture of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with truth has never been greater. Truth equips you to live life authentically in Christ, enabling you to strive with all His energy that He so powerfully works within you. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And as I get this broadcast started today, I want to mention two resources that are available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world 24/7. The one, The Divine Conspiracy, Rediscovering Our Hidden Life in God. The other, The Spirit of the Disciplines, both books by Dallas Willard. These are books that I have read over and over and over again. If you came to my office, I could show you dog-eared, marked-up copies. And there are certain books that are like that in my library. And it is evidence of the significance of those books. And this is why we're making them available to you. You can check them out on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI as well. Let me start out with a quote from one of these books. And that is a quote by Dallas Willard in which he says that one of the greatest deceptions in the practice of the Christian religion is the idea that all that really matters is our internal feelings, our ideas, our beliefs, our intentions. And says Dallas Willard, it is this mistake about the psychology of the human being that more than anything else divorces salvation from life. It leaves us with a head full of vital truths about God and a body unable to fend off sin. If that doesn't underscore the importance of the spiritual disciplines, I don't know what would. Again, the quote of the day by Dallas Willard comes from his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines. And I think this is the problem in capsule, that we have a head full of ideas, but a body unable to fend off sins. Why? Because we haven't practiced the disciplines that Jesus Christ made plain for us during his earthly sojourn. Both books available. Check them out on the web at equip.org. And let me say one more thing. I mentioned this in our letter, our monthly letter to our constituents who support the ministry. I point out that there's a book called The Divine Commodity in which author Sky Gittani paints a disturbing picture of an all-too-typical modern-day church. He says, wherever I looked, flat panel displays crammed my field of vision. Presenters were flashing their high-definition smiles. And the stage was alive. It was a mechanical beast to behold. It was moving fluidly, breathing smoke, shooting lasers through its digital chameleon skin. The band members were spread across the platform as jagged teeth in the beast's mouth, and the drummer, precariously suspended upon the ceiling, was like a pagan offering. And after that description of modern-day, quote-unquote, worship, he poses a question that we ought to ask. Is this why Jesus suffered and died? Is this why Jesus Christ came in the incarnation? Is this why he conquered death and evil, so that you and I might congregate for multimedia worship extravaganzas in his name? No serious, no sober Christian would need more than a second to answer that question. But the pervasive presence of these high-tech theatrics is merely symptomatic of a much deeper problem, one that lies at the very core of the decline of the Western Church. Again, The Spirit of the Disciplines and The Divine Conspiracy, both books that you need to read. You need to have them in your library. Let's go to the phone lines. A lot of you calling in. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Randy first in Buffalo, New York, listening on the web. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good.
Good. I just had a question. I recently read your book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution. I was wondering if the data from it was still applicable today. I know it's been like 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. And so is the acronym itself. I did do an update on it in a flip chart that we have available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It's titled Memorable Keys to the Farce of Evolution. And there I use FARCE as the acronym. I just add the R, which stands for recapitulation. You know, the idea that ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny, that the emerging embryo goes through all of the evolutionary phases. So at one point, it's a fish, and then it's a frog, and eventually becomes a fetus. Now, the reason that's a very, very relevant and appropriate argument for today is that it is used oftentimes to say that if you abort a child early, you're not aborting a child or a fetus, but rather you're aborting a fish or a frog. And so to demonstrate the utter falsity of that paradigm, I think, is very relevant and important in the modern epoch.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I was reading some reviews and discussions, I think somewhere on Amazon. One was on it's a site, lyingforjesus.org. It was pointing out there were some quotes in there, like from Darwin. There's a quote about Darwin, how he says that to suppose I has been formed by natural selection seems absurd.
Yes.
But in the actual quote itself, though, Darwin's talking about, even though it seems absurd, in old times, the fact that the sun, or that the earth went around the sun, seemed absurd. But obviously later on it was proven, you know, to be true. And that he makes the point that, like, the voice of the people, or, like, you know, the intuition of the day should never be trusted. So that.
But I don't think that's the point. That's not the point that I'm making. It is true that there are paradigms that people used to have. Geocentrism, which you're alluding to, or heliocentrism, both were paradigms that were held with a great deal of arrogance, actually, and now we know, upon further observation, that neither one of them is true. We live neither in a heliocentric nor a geocentric universe. We are in a flattened arm of the Milky Way galaxy, and we know that there are billions, even trillions of galaxies with billions of stars. So cosmology has moved on, but that, again, is not the point that I'm making in the book. The point I'm making in the book is a point about complexity, that there are a vast number of impulses traveling from your eyes through millions of nerve fibers, and they transmit information to a complex computing center in the brain. Of course, it's called the visual cortex, and linking the visual information from the eyes to motor centers in the brain is crucial in coordinating the bodily functions that are axiomatic to our process of daily living. Without that coordinated development, the eye and the brain in synergistic fashion, the isolated developments would be meaningless and counterproductive. So I'm raising an issue here, and that issue is expanding on what Darwin said, and I think it's as relevant today as it ever was. And the reason it's relevant is that when a photon of light hitting a human eye was beyond 19th century science, that black box has opened, and it has revealed an even more complex world, a world that Darwin couldn't have attained to. So the problem is even greater in our day than it was in Darwin's day. Coming up to a station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more on this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I've written a number of more contemporary books, like the Creation Answer Book, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, The Farce of Evolution, Memorable Keys to The Farce of Evolution, The Flip Chart, and of course, there are newer versions of The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find them on the web at equip.org. We will be right back after the break with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
Every Christian strives to become more like Jesus Christ, but how does this transformation take place? The key to spiritual transformation is the practice of spiritual disciplines. The Spirit of the Disciplines by Dallas Willard is a must-read for every Christian who seeks to honor God in every area of their life. By practicing ancient, Christ-honoring disciplines, we begin to experience the core of Christian life and communion with Christ. To receive a copy of The Spirit of the Disciplines for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the life-changing ministries of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go back to our phone calls. Let's go to Aaron next in Seattle, Washington, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
So I have a two-part question. I was wondering if you could talk to the importance of recognizing your spiritual gifts, and then what your general thoughts are on the relationship between your spiritual gifts and the popular personality tests, whether that's Myers-Briggs, DISC, Enneagram, so on and so forth.
Well, I don't think that there's a correlation between the two, although through the personality tests, you can find out what your motivational gifts are. But I think when you're talking about the spiritual gifts, you're talking about gifts that are given for the growth of the whole church. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit given for the benefit of others. And the point that you find made by the Apostle Paul in a number of different places, including 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12, is that we have different gifts according to the grace that God has given us. And that's why the whole body is necessary. We're a necessary part of the whole body, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And then Paul talks about the fact that we have different gifts according to the grace given us, and that we have to exercise those gifts. Now, some of these gifts are gifts such as teaching or encouraging or giving. And while they are gifts that are given to people, they are nonetheless a responsibility for all of us. They may not be our gift, but they are yet a responsibility. The gift of giving, which Paul mentions in Romans chapter 12, is a classic case in point, because Paul says there that if your gift is giving, give generously. Well, what if you don't have that gift? Do you say, well, Pastor, I'm not going to give anything this year because I don't have the gift of giving? No, because even if you don't have that gift, you still have that responsibility. So we all have different gifts, and the point that Paul is making, our gifts, our spiritual gifts, must be exercised within the context of the body of Christ, which is another indication that we cannot go on the journey to heaven as a Lone Ranger Christian. We always do so within the context of the body of Christ.
All right, that's very helpful. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Herb, listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, WHVN. Hi.
I really appreciate your ministry, but I'm really curious as to what is your position on what the Bible says about the age of the earth?
Well,
I know what the scientists say, but I wonder what you think the Bible says.
Well, I don't think the Bible says anything about the age of the earth. The Bible is not giving us a chronology. It is giving us a chirology, God's purposes in creation. And so we cannot deduce from the Genesis account of creation how old the universe is, because the days of creation aren't given so that we have a timeline, but rather so we see God's purposes in creation. And we see that in a lot of different ways. For example, you see that in the genealogies. Why is it that there are 10 genealogies on each side of the flood? The takeaway is quite obvious. This is symmetry. It's not sequence. And so highlights are given, but a chronology cannot be deduced from those highlights. So again, the Bible isn't designed to tell us how old the universe is. If you want to find out how old the universe is, you look at what you find in God's other book, the Book of Nature. There you see that the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. You see his eternal powers, divine nature, clearly seen through what has been made so that men are without excuse. That book, if you read that book properly, will give you some sense of how old the universe is.
Okay, I just, I really think that people might be overlooking Job chapter 38, where God says, I laid the foundation and I stretched a line upon it. And that says God took some time to make sure things were right for the living creatures.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but again, I don't think that gives us any kind of a sense of how old the universe is. It does give us a sense of repeating what is said by Moses in the book of Genesis, that God created the heavens and the earth. God laid the foundations of the earth, that God is the creator of all things. But it doesn't really tell us how long it took God to create. That is not the point of Genesis. It is purpose, not chronology. It's chirology, not chronology.
Well, I understand that. I just think that when God in the book of Job says that he laid the foundations and then he stretched the line upon it, and he was making sure things were right. So it did take some length of time. And
well, again, there's no debate that...
Well, it doesn't tell you how many years. Or
yeah, exactly.
It does tell you, it does say it was some period of time to get the earth stabilized and around the sun and settled so that living things could exist on it.
Yeah, and again, I think the issue here, Herb, is that we need to learn to read the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. And I spend a good deal of time actually with the book of Job, understanding how the book of Job ought to be read in a book called The Creation Answer Book, to which I alluded earlier on in the broadcast. Thank you for your call. Latoya in Washington, D.C., you're up next. Hi, Latoya.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can. You sound wonderful.
Yes. I want to know where in the Bible, if you could give me some scriptures or if it's anything in the Bible that's referring to abortions or any type of contraception, such as birth control or tying your tubes, or do God just want us to, you know, have babies while we're married, like just have as many as we can?
Well, I think, first of all, in terms of abortion, the Bible doesn't specifically use the word abortion, but the Bible certainly speaks to the issue of abortion. Abortion is the painful killing of an innocent human being, and therefore it is, by definition, murder. So, for example, there's a debate raging right now about infanticide. Well, what is that debate actually all about? It's a debate about location. The infant is outside the womb. The abortion takes place inside the womb, but it is a matter of location. So you think about a preborn child, let's say in the eighth month of pregnancy, or an infant outside the womb. Both can live apart from the mother, both demonstrate all of the qualities that constitute life, and therefore terminating that life is abortion. In terms of birth control, I think there is a lot of debate amongst Christians about this. Is it appropriate in any form, or should it always be avoided? Well, there is no question in my mind that birth control methods designed to destroy or prevent the implantation of a fertilized egg or an embryo should be avoided. Why? Because from the moment of conception, an embryo is a living, growing person that is made in the image of God. I think of the words, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. All praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. All the days ordained for me are written in your book. Were designed by you before even one of them came to be. And therefore the abortion pill should never be used. The morning after pill, oral contraceptives should not be used because they're not designed only to prevent fertilization, but also to prevent uterine implantation if fertilization should occur. And I think the greater point here, though, is that we ought to have a necessary openness to children that accompanies the sexual union, which serves to protect against the abuse of sex for merely self-gratification, because the act and the institution of marriage entail a whole lot more, including the fact that it is parabolic of Christ in the church. Much more could be said. I've written about this in various forums. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My apologies to those I didn't get to. Hopefully we'll be able to answer your question on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, as always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. And remember that by standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, you're touching the lives of people, not only for time, but also for eternity. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.